Good to be here this morning, and always good to come into Macedonia Church, and it's always good to see our sweet little kin folks and see all you other brothers and sisters. And that's the one beautiful thing about church. We're all brothers and sisters, ain't we? So thank the Lord for that. Appreciate Elder Guthrie asking me to open up. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." That first part there, it says that thou oughtest to know how to behave thyself in the house of God. You know that word ought, you know, in modern day English, they'd probably tell you don't use the word ought. Say, you ought to go over and do this, you ought to do that. But, you know, that's a Bible word, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ought. Now, oughtest is only in the Bible four times, if I got it correct. Now, the word ought is in there many, many more times. But the word ought is strong, isn't it? It's not like a general suggestion. When the Lord tells you you ought to do something, you know, we ought to do it. You know, that is like a commandment, isn't it? The word ought. He said, you know, that thou ought to know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar on the ground of the truth. As you turn back to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, I'm going to start out with a little bit like that and not take too much of Elder Guthrie's time here, hopefully. He says, "Now all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was called before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And as he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday." I want you to listen to that. You know, a lot of times, you know, one of the greatest complaints sometimes is the preacher preaches too long. you know, sometimes people will say, "Well, how long do you old Baptist preach?" Say, "Well, probably about an hour, hour and a half, something like that." We don't usually, but you know, you just tell them that. But anyway, you know, I don't know what the proper time to do it is. They tell me probably the magic number is somewhere around 40 minutes. You know, if you make it too short, they'll think you're not a preacher, won't they? If you make it too long, you know, they'll say, "Boy, he sure is long-winded." So anyway, but I've been told about 40 minutes. But anyway, it's not in the Bible how long you're supposed to go. But anyway, they were read, you know, Ezra stood up and read from the book of the law for a half a day. It said from morning until midday. I mean, how would you like for somebody to read the Bible to you for a half a day? And the Bible says they were attentive. You know why they were attentive? Because they were interested in what was being said. You know, they were interested. And it said when he opened the book in the sight of the people, when he opened it, the people stood up. I mean, they had a great respect, you know, for God's law. And that was the law of Moses, was God's laws, wasn't it? You know, nowadays we got the Bible, which is God's word. from beginning to end. You know, we should, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the same respect for the Bible as these people did for Moses' law, that when you opened it up, people stood up and they were willing to sit there and listen for half a day. I mean, that's a, you know, they were interested, wasn't it? Said, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And you think about that, and you can go back and read the book of Ezra. You know, the great carried away of Babylon. You know, the Lord, because the children of Israel disobeyed the Lord for 490 years. You know, they're supposed to let the land lay out every seventh year. They disobeyed that commandment for 490 years. And because they did that, the Lord allowed them to be taken away to the carrying away of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And they were there for 70 years. And when the 70 years ended, you know, God put it in the king's heart to send them back. And so they came back to Jerusalem. They come back in about three different groups. And one of them, Ezra, they would come back to build the temple. And then Ezra, after they had the temple built, they sent Ezra, the scribe or the preacher, you know, to go back and get everything organized. And then there was another group called that would come by Nehemiah. And so in the carrying away, they didn't all take them all at once either, did they? See, you're talking about over a period of many, many years. But anyway, you know, God did it. When Nehemiah went back, he had to build the walls and the gates around Jerusalem. And if you'll notice, it wasn't easy. You know, most good things in life are not easy. I mean, that's why we have to be willing to work for it, see? You know, a lot of things we take on in life, we think, well, this is so rough and tough. I don't know why I ever started this, but almost every good thing in life, it has to be worked for it. But anyway, they work and they built that wall in 52 days. You know why they did it in 52 days? The Bible tells us. Said the people, they had a mind to work.
Yes.
You ever notice how things start in the mind? In the mind. They had a mind to work. And in 52 days, they had it built, didn't they? And you can go in there and read all of that stuff, you know, that took place and how respectful that they were. And we're supposed to be respectful in the house of God, too, ain't we? We come in and we hear the gospel proclaimed, and you hear your elder get up and preach the gospel and out of the Bible. You ever realize if he didn't have a Bible, what would he preach? What would a preacher preach if he didn't have a Bible? You know, thank the Lord that he gave us the book, you know, God's Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for that. And he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. You ever thought about how mysterious godliness is? Well, you know, the Bible says it's a great, it's a mystery, didn't it? He said it's a mystery. Godliness is a mystery. It said, and without controversy. That means that, you know, that all God's people agree. You know, there's no controversy that great is a mystery of godliness. Then he says God was manifest in the flesh. When he came down, the Lord Jesus Christ was born to the Virgin Mary. You know, he was God manifest in the flesh. God in the flesh, wasn't he? All man and all God. God in the flesh. Well, that's a mystery to us. You know, it's hard to figure that one out, isn't it? But that's what the Bible says. It said he was manifest in the flesh and he was justified in the spirit. Everything he did, he pleased God, didn't he?
Yeah.
There was no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He was only perfect man that ever walked the earth. And we try to be like him as much as we can, don't we? We go by the word of God here. He was justified in the spirit and seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world. Not by the world. Only God's children will believe on him. Only God's children will believe on him. He was believed on in the world. I mean, nowadays the world hates Christ. They hate God. They hate Christ. They hate people that come and worship. But you know, that don't bother me. Well, it does bother me. It makes me mad. But you know, I can't do nothing about that. All I can do is what I know I'm supposed to do, okay? But anyway, it says, believed on in the world and received up into glory. But anyway, let's speak about those things. And as Elder Guthrie comes forward to preach the gospel, let us think about how wonderful and what a great blessing it is just to be able to come into the house of the Lord and to worship. And we ought to do it while we're young. And it does my heart good to see all of these young children. I mean, I love that. You know, because if you live long enough, there will come a time when you won't be able to come in and worship. So take advantage of it while you can. It's a great blessing. If you'll bow with me, I'll try to pray.